issues. Tonight you're going to see Paul gets even a little bit more personal. And Paul here is fighting with these false teachers that have come into the church and have been, again, changing these churches of Galatia, the way that they think. And here tonight we're going to look at the message entitled, Back to the Blessed Place. Back to the Blessed Place. Here in the book of Galatians, Paul was writing to this church of Galatia, these different churches. Remember, he went on his missionary journeys, and as he went into his missionary journeys, he began these churches. And as he begins these churches, he wins these people to Christ. He teaches them. He disciples them. He puts up leaders there in place. He loves these churches. He's labored there. And here, somebody else has came in behind, entered in, began teaching false doctrines. And as beginning to teach false doctrines, Paul is writing back now to combat these different false teachers, these Judaizers. Let's go ahead and look here in verses 8 through 15, and then we'll get into the message. Galatians chapter number 4, verse 8 says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God," now this is referring to before they were saved, "ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." So back then, idolatry was something that was great. It was this is what they did. They worshiped false gods. And so that's what he's saying. He says, look, before you knew God, or knew about God, he says, you used to do service for false gods. Verse number 9, "But now, after that ye have known God," he says, once you came into a knowledge and understanding who God was, "or rather are known of God." You know, it's great to know about God, but for God to know you, that's even something more special. "Well, how then ye again turn to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage." So Paul was saying here that you became a Christian. You left those false teachings. You left those false gods. And he says, now why are you turning back to something else that is what he describes here? He calls it weak and beggarly. He's saying, look, why are you going back into bondage? You left that idolatry behind. And he says, and what these Judaizers are trying to teach you are just as bad. He says, you're looking to the Mosaic Law. You're putting that up. You're serving that instead of serving Christ. So he's asking him why they are turning. And he says in verse number 10, "You observe days and months and times and years." What does that refer to? It refers to the Sabbaths, and it refers to the feasts, and it refers to the different feasts that happened during the years, the Jewish traditions. Years is probably talking about the Sabbath years and things like that. Verse number 11, he says, "I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." And he's saying, look, I'm concerned with the things that you're believing and following the false doctrine you're coming into. He says, look, I labored with you. I worked hard to teach you these things. And now so quickly you're being turned away. And verse number 12, he says, "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all." And he's saying, look, don't worry about the things that have been said. He says, look, just be as I am. I think that's a wonderful thing, is that a man that is living for God and serving God can, as Paul said, follow me as I follow after Christ. He is sincere here for him. He can imagine the passion and the service he had to be able to tell these people, look, follow after me. And he says, "For I am as ye are." He says, I used to be in that place where the Judaizers are at, trying to serve the law. I used to be there. And look what it continues on saying in verse number 13. "Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." We see here now he begins to become personal. He begins to lay it all out there. He is so concerned. He's so worried about them. He wants to bring everything he has. He's taught them doctrinally. He's brought off argument after argument after argument. Now he's pulling for their heartstrings. He says, "You remember when I came unto you." He said, "I preached the gospel unto you at the first." Look what it says at the beginning of verse 13. "You know how through infirmity." He's saying there in verse 13, he says, there was something wrong with me. There was a sickness when I came to you. There was some type of disease. Now, most people believe this disease refers to his eyes. There was a common disease there that great pus would come out of the eyes, and it was very, very unattractive. And if you can imagine, I know you guys don't have anything special to look at in me, but can you imagine somebody up there and just the pus, it's revolting in some things. And he says in verse 13, he says, "You know, this is how I did." And look in verse 14, "And my temptation," and I think this is reference to his trial, his thorn in the flesh, which he's called it before, "which was in my flesh, ye despise not." He says, look, you did not despise me when I had this problem, nor reject it. He says, "But received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. He was saying, you received me as a messenger despite of my disease, despite of my appearance, even as Christ Jesus. He's saying the words that I was saying is as if they were God's words. And that's what the scriptures there, he's implying there in the way that they received him. Look what it says in verse 15. This will be the last verse we look at for tonight. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. So he brings him back to this thought. You remember when you were first saved? He says, you remember that place of blessedness. You remember that place where you were so interested in learning about God, serving God, loving God. He says, loving me as God's man. He says, remember back in that day, that spot when you were excited about God. And that's what he's saying. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? He says, what has happened to that people that when I left was so excited and so on fire, wanting to serve God, wanting to learn about God? He says, where'd you go? Tonight what we're going to look at is back to the blessed place. You ever met somebody who was excited about serving God and then years later you see them again and they've fallen away from God and just really don't have any interest in God at all or the things of God? And it even hurts even more maybe when that person was a person you won to Christ or a person you invested time, energy, and effort in, and you turn around and you say, man, I remember when they were excited. I remember when they sung in the choir. I remember guys when they preached messages. I'm not talking about here, but I mean the power that God was on them and the excitement they had in serving God, the fervor, the love they had for God. The ones they when they sang, you know they were singing for God. That when they got into his word, they were excited about his word. They wanted to tell other people about Jesus Christ. They had a desire to want to do something for God. And we see people like that, and we see the anxiousness and the excitement. I enjoy seeing when young people go to camp, and they come back, and they're excited. And you say, Pastor, after a week or two, sometimes their decisions are gone. I says, it's still nice to see that somebody anxiously wanting to serve God. It's still nice to see somebody, God spoke to their heart, and hopefully that they will continue on. Hopefully people will come along their side. And you're just like, where did that come? Where did they go? And that's what Paul's saying to these people. Something has happened here. What caused this? Why did you get here? Why in the world would you go back into bondage? Why in the world would you turn back to the things that never brought you contentment, that never brought you satisfaction, that never brought you the help you needed? And here's the thought tonight is are you closer to God today than you have been at any other point in your life? Now, because if there was a point in your life when you desired God more and you wanted to know more about God and you loved God at a greater rate and greater pace, but somehow you've slid back or fallen back or backslid, we need to figure out what's causing that to get you back to that blessed place. We need you to get back to that place where you have the excitement and you want to serve God as maybe you did when you were a new Christian. There was one a preacher had a quote as this. He says, if you're not as close to God as you used to be, you do not have to guess who moved. If you're not as close to God as you used to be, you don't have to guess who moved. You don't have to guess who walked away. You don't have to guess who's leaving. We can blame it on everybody else. You can blame it on me as a preacher. You can blame it on the teachers or the leadership. You can blame it on whoever you want to. You can blame it on your friends, your family. But God gave you something at one point in time. If you're a Christian today, God spoke to your heart, and there was an excitement that was involved about being a Christian, and you wanted to serve him, and you had that desire. Where is that blessed place? Where is that moment in time in your life where you were hearing from God and seeing God work and seeing God use you in your life? I'm not talking about everything being a bed of roses. I'm not talking about everything being easy, because that does not translate together. Because we know that the Apostle Paul faced great trials, great tribulation, great testing, and even these Galatians, they saw what he was going through, and at some point in time, they were willing to receive him, they were willing to accept him. They were at the point where they loved this man of God so much that they would be willing to pluck out their own eyes and give them to the Apostle Paul if they thought they could be a help and a blessing to the Apostle Paul. And Paul is saying, you were there. He says, when I left you, that is the type of people you were. What happened to you? And that's just a thought here. Tonight, is there a blessed place that you like to get back to? Now, my hope is that we're all living for God, and we're all to the spot and the level in our lives that we are growing each day, and that we are farther along in our walk with God and know more about God and love God more than we did yesterday. But the sad reality is that most aren't. Most people have been wanting to serve and wanting to be on fire for God and wanting to do things at a greater rate at some other point in their life. God doesn't want that. God hasn't moved away. God hasn't taken his power away. God desires for you to be at that blessed place. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Lord, help us. Lord, I know that in myself and in my own knowledge, I can't help anyone when it comes to spiritual matters. Lord, people need to hear from you. And Lord, that's what we're looking for, is Lord, for you to speak to hearts. Lord, help us tonight. I'm thankful for this group. Lord, I know it's small in size, but Lord, they came here tonight, and Lord, I believe they came here tonight looking to hear from you. Lord, help speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's part of the problem, I think. I think part of the problem is that this Church of Galatia was letting somebody else influence them instead of them influencing others. It's sort of like what happened to the children of Israel. God sent them forth with a great testimony. He wanted them to change, and he wanted them to impact the nations that are around them. But what did the nations around them do? Instead of the nation Israel impacting them, they impacted the nation Israel, and they were pulled down into idolatry and then sooner or later slavery. Here, it's the same thing that happens in the world we live at today. Church, Christians, supposed to be making an impact on the world, supposed to be making a difference for God. But many times, it's reverse. The world impacts church, what some people would call religion, what people would call Christians. You know, we're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be making a difference in this world. And so many times we let the world come in and affect us. A.W. Tozer said this: religion today is not transforming the people. It is being transformed by the people. It is not raising the moral level of society. It is descending to society's own level and congratulating itself that it has scored a victory because society is smiling, accepting its surrender. You know, in 2009, when President Obama's inaugural concert that was given, it was given by Bruce Springsteen and Beyonce and the Washington Gay Men's Chorus. They asked a bishop, Gene Robinson, who is the first openly homosexual Episcopal bishop of New Hampshire, to open the mass event at Lincoln Memorial with a prayer. And this is what the man said. Bishop Robinson said he had been reading inaugural prayers through history and was horrified at how specifically and aggressively Christian they were. He says, "I am very clear," he said, "that this will not be a Christian prayer. I won't be quoting scripture or anything like that. The texts that I hold as sacred are not sacred texts for Americans, and I want all people to feel that this is their prayer." Bishop Robinson said he might address the prayer to the God of many understandings. Language that he said he learned from his 12-step program when he attended his alcohol addiction. You know, the world has been affected by Christianity, not half as much as Christianity is being affected by the world. And there, you know, we think of many gods. In many ways, the paganism in our culture today, it was just like Paul's. In pagan Rome, they had a building called the Pantheon, which was for all God. And polytheism is prevalent today as it was in pagan Rome. And the day that we live in today, there is abounds and masses of different religions that people serve. And some people think you have to go out to some jungle to find some type of idol they're bowing down to. That's just not true. So tonight, when we look at this, I want you to understand, back to the blessed place, back to that spot where we serve God and had a fervor and excitement about serving God and wanting to do more for him. How do we get there? And what caused us to turn from that? What caused us? God hasn't moved. God's change, desire for you has not changed. What caused us to leave that blessed place? First thing I want you to see is the relapse of the Galatians. The relapse of the Galatians. And we're going to look here in verses 8 through 10. First, you see the record before their conversion. This is what they were before they were saved. Verse number 8, "Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods." They were religious. be honest with you, I think all mankind are religious. Some worship the true God. Some worship Muhammad. Some worship Buddha. Some worship thousands of gods in the Hindu religion. And some just worship themselves in humanism. The religious nature of people is to get caught up in works, what they can do to perform their religion. And that's exactly what happened to the Church of Galatia. Before their salvation, their works defined how they worshiped their gods. They used to, as you see at the end of verse number 8, it says, ye did service unto them by which by nature are no gods. They were a people who would serve, and they would do false things. They would bow down to idols. The Diana was there. All the different false gods were there. That's what they were before conversion. They were idolaters. During this period, the Romans, the Greeks, and all those were influenced by religious beliefs. They were all idolaters. They all had to believe they had to do some type of work to some type of God. And there was all those false gods from Greece and Rome that had all those different false gods. And even the Caesars believed they became gods. Say, how in the world can a person get to that spot where they would bow down to some statue? Romans chapter 1 teaches us, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You'd be amazed what some people bow down to and say that's their God. Paul calls them dumb gods. They can't speak. They can't hear. Now, Christians, what has changed our blessed place? You know, many times you can look in the same formula and say, you know what, when we knew God, we didn't glorify him as God. And we weren't thankful. We weren't looking to him as God. Instead, we changed our own minds and our hearts into believing what we want to believe. Second thing, you see not only the record before conversion, we see the record of their conversion. That's what you see in verse number 9. I love that word, but. They were in a pitiful state, lost, bowing down to false gods, working towards false gods. He says, but now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak? Now here's a record of conversion. The Galatians not only knew God, but rather God knows them. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, nevertheless, the foundations of God stand sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Here's the idea, is not only do you have to know God, but God knows you. And the Bible says that the Lord knows those that are his. The Lord said he knows his sheep. He calls them. They hear him. You know, God knows who you are. God knows whether or not you're saved. God knows you if you're one of his children. Like we looked at last week about adoption. We looked at last week about being a child of God, the benefits that come with that. This is an exciting thing that happened to them. They were worshiping a false god. Now they know the one true, real God. But more importantly, that God knows them. Spurgeon put it this way, remember that if you are a child of God, you will never be happy in sin. You are spoiled for the world, the flesh, and the devil. When you were regenerated, there was put into you a vital principle which can never be content to dwell in the dead world. You will have to come back if indeed you belong to the family. He says, once you're a Christian, you're never going to be satisfied with sin. Yes, you might get some pleasure with sin in a season, but there's always going to be that longing that the Holy Spirit of God is going to continue on trying to draw you back. The record of their conversion, and Paul is saying here to them, the relapse of their conversion here in verse number 9 at the end, he says, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements? He's saying, how in the world could you turn back? Christ gave you all this freedom. No longer did you have to bow down. No longer did you have to make these sacrifices. No longer did you have to. He says, now you have turned away from that and you got saved. Now he says, now why are you turning back into bondage? And I wonder that sometimes in our own lives. Because not only are we looking here at the Church of Galatia, we're looking at our own lives. You know, when we were saved and we were doing things for God, remember what our life used to be. It used to be one of the world. It used to be one where we maybe didn't have the fruits of the Spirit. Our lives were about anger. Our lives were about maybe lusting, whatever the different things, jealousy that you struggle with, a bad attitude. And he says, when you were unsaved, you didn't have any choice. You had to do those things. And when you got saved, you turned to God and believing in him and putting your faith and trust in him for salvation. You turned to God. You turned away from those things of the world. You repented of those things of the world. And he says, what gets a Christian away from that blessed place is when they turn back to those things of the world. And that's what Paul's saying. Why in the world are you turning back? And he refers to these words. You look at the word weak. In the Greek, it means asthenes, which means weak, infirm, and feeble. Paul is questioning the Galatians' choice of how they were once free, now they're turning back to bondage. Why would they go back to something that never gave them satisfaction? They left that bondage behind in the past. And the same question we need to ask you today is, why do we turn back to the world when we know the joy, we know the freedom, we know the liberty we have in Jesus Christ? Why do we keep on turning back to the sin of the world when we keep on turning back to those fleshly desires, those fleshly lusts? Paul is saying, why in the world would you give up everything you have in Jesus Christ to turn around and go back to those things that never brought you satisfaction to begin with and can never bring you satisfaction? That's what it talks about in the word beggarly. In verse number 9, it's the beggarly word is pedikos, meaning lacking in anything as respects to the spirit. The Galatians were going back to a beggarly lifestyle. They placed themselves under works-based rituals and religion. They left the freedom they had in God, and they went back exactly to where they were before. Yes, they might not have been worshiping Diana. They might have not had to pay some type of fee or whatever, but they were going back to put themselves under a religion, an idol, but the idol was the law. Second thing I want you to see is they were, you can look in verse number 10, it talks about how they returned back to rituals. The days, he says, you observe days. That's talking about the observance of the Sabbath. And months, that's referring to the festivals of the new moon. It's kept by the Jews. On this festival, the additional days of sacrifice, they would have to bring things like bullocks, rams, seven sheep. And then you keep on seeing when it talks about the times and the years. It talks about the different law things that they were required to do. So we come to this and we see how they fell back. Second thing is the regret of the apostle. Verse number 11, he even gets a little bit more personal. He says, I am afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. Let me first put it this way, that we know that a person cannot lose their salvation. It's found all throughout Scripture. It's reinforced all throughout Scripture. He's talking about the effort that he had put in. Paul, in a nice way, is saying that he thinks he wasted his time among them. Since they had been saved by grace, their returning to the law is the same as returning to their former idols. He reminded them that they had not known God by the means of the Mosaic law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And there was a danger in turning to this apostasy. The danger in this apostasy is that they would lose their freedom and liberty if they have Jesus Christ. They're not going to lose their salvation, but they're putting themselves back in bondage. But the greater danger was that they were going to affect other people by not getting saved because they're not preaching and teaching the truth. He feared for their faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I espouse you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin in Christ. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul is fearful of their failure. He has labored hard with them. You see the word that's mentioned here in verse number 11. He says, I'm afraid of you lest I have bestowed upon you labor. Paul's saying, look, I put my heart out there. I worked hard to win you to Christ, to teach you, the tears, the sweat, all those things that were going on. He was a sick man at this time too. And he went and he gave all this over to them. He says, I'm afraid now it's in vain. He said, I'm afraid that I've wasted my time because I could have taught and trained somebody else that would not fall into this apostasy. That's pretty tough. It's pretty hard. Put yourself in that spot. Maybe in your life you've known somebody that you invested in, and you've helped train, you thought they were on the right path, and then they just walk away from God. It's tough. It's hard. And even sometimes our own children, they do that. Sometimes it's people I know Mr. Humbert's worked with a lot of men in the prison, and inside the prison walls, they would give testimonies, and they're ready to serve God, but weeks after they get out, they just turn back, and that's a tough thing. And that's why we serve God. That's why we labor with God. But Paul here he's trying to pull all these things. He says, look, tell me I didn't waste all this time on you. Tell me that I didn't put all this work and effort and energy in you for you to just turn around and go right back doing the same thing you used to do. Say, Pastor, is that right to do? He's trying to do whatever he can to help them realize and see that they're making a mistake. They're headed down the wrong path, and they're teaching and showing other people the wrong things. He's saying, look, don't show me I didn't make a mistake by coming. by entering over top that rugged area. That travel, that's a hard travel to make, especially for a man that has a disease and has a problem. He had gave his all. Now, Paul had himself, you know, you look at the other scriptures, he says he was willing to be spent. He was willing to give everything. He was willing to lay down his life for the cause of Christ. But he's saying, look, don't make this mistake. And he is saying to them, look, don't make this mistake. Just as we would many times. I taught you better. Please, don't make this mistake. That's what Paul's saying. And this is the church here. Now, can you imagine that? Is how, if Paul feels that way, what God feels like. That God, that when we are over here and God gives us liberty, God gives us freedom, God gives us all these things, he has saved us from the bondage. But when we turn around and we turn back to the bondage, when we turn back to the world, you know what happens? We lose that blessed place. Over here, we have freedom, we have excitement, we want to serve God, we want to tell people about Jesus Christ, we want to sing, we want to live for God, we want to love God with all our heart, all our mind. This is the blessed place. This is where we should be as a Christian. But when we turn back, we put ourselves in bondage and we live a life of guilt, we live a life of dread, we live a life knowing that, boy, I'm not serving God like I should. There's something we need to do here. We need to get back to that blessed place. We need to get back to the place where we want to serve God. And that's what Paul's saying to them is, look, you're never going to find satisfaction. You're never going to find happiness. You're never going to find what you're looking for going back into bondage, going back into the world. And we've seen it happen. I've seen it happen with too many young people. Pastor, we're leaving, going somewhere else because, and they just want to go back and they want to live like the world. They just want to do things their own way. And it breaks your heart. It does. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, look, don't tell me I wasted all this time on you. He says, I labored hard for you. And he's not saying do it for himself, but he's reminding them. Remember, and that's why he's bringing this correlation. You say, Pastor, that verse just doesn't seem fair. It seems like he's regretting what he did. But if you keep on reading what he goes through, he says in verse number 12, for I beseech you, be as I am. He's teaching them. He says, look, you can be like me. He says, you can live for God like I am. And this is the reminder from the apostle. He saw the relapse of the Galatians, the regret of the apostle. He sees the reminder of the apostle. He tells them, look, follow my example. But I want you to go down here, and I want you to skip over there, and I want you to go down to verse number 15. He says, where is then that blessed place, blessedness that you spake of? For I bear record that if ye had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. See, if you correlate verse number 11 and verse number 15, he says, you remember the work I did. You remember the labor I did. Don't tell me it was in vain. He says, look, you remember that blessedness. You remember that blessed place. You remember how you received Christ. You remember how you felt. You remember the difference it made in your life. He says, at that moment in time, you were willing to take out your own eyes and give it to me. Now, someone has come in behind. The devil has used these Judaizers to come in and to corrupt your thinking. Now, I'm your enemy. And that's what he says in the next verse. He says, you know, am I your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Now, under me, you learned about Christ. Under me, you were a disciple. Under me, you were excited about serving God. You were in a blessed place. But he says, now something has crept in and you've gone back into bondage. And now you don't have anything to do with me. And that's what he's saying in verse number 11. He's saying, look, I bestowed all this labor onto you. You go back and you remember. So the reminders of the apostle was, look, follow my example. You know, when you think of it, it's incredible that Paul could invite people to live like he does. I don't know about you, but I'm hoping my sons go way past me in my Christian life. I want to learn more. I want to grow more. But, man, I'm hoping that they don't have to deal with the things I dealt with and struggle with. And I'm hoping they can be overcome. I'm looking for some deliverers out of this generation. And I'm hoping my children do great things for God. And they do. But, you know, that's Paul is saying to them. He said, look, follow after me. Paul was sold out. He was willing to give everything over to God. He says, look, follow after me. I wonder how many of us could really say, look, I want you to live the way I do. That is a hard thing to say, but Paul in sincerity does that here. He sounds like Paul is bragging. No, he's trying to tell them, look, it can be done. I turn from that bondage. I turn from Judaism. He says, I was as you are. I used to believe that. I used to live that. I used to be under that bondage. He says, I turned away, and you can do it too. And that's what he's saying. You can make it back to that blessed place. You do not have to be living this way. And he talked about it in his preaching. You know, that's, you hear the preaching that he does. It was done in infirmity. He sees in verse number 13, you know, through an infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel to you at first. But then he talks about remembering his love. And that's where I think that, you know, that's how we get back to that blessed place. It all begins on how much we love God. And that's what he's reminding these people of. You remember back then, don't you? Don't you remember that time when I was there and we were leaving and you wish that because you had been so blessed and God had spoken to your heart so much that you were willing to do anything for God? And it reminds me of the passages of Scripture in Revelation where it says in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it talked about all these great things about the church of Ephesus. But then he says, "Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent." And that's what Jesus was saying to this church of Ephesus. He says, "I'm proud of all the work you're doing." He says, "But I got a big problem with one thing." He says, "You're doing it for the wrong reasons." He says, "You have left your first love." Why do we get out of that blessed place? It's because we start loving something more than we love God. How do we get back to that blessed place? It's by loving God more than anything else. That's what he's telling this church here. He's saying, "Look, I remember the day you were saved. I remember how you turned away from the Dianas and you turned away from all those Greek gods and all those other gods, and you turned to the one true living God, and God knows who you are now. Why in the world are you taking yourself and you're turning back?" He says, "I've worked hard. I've labored with you. Now, don't you remember that place? Don't you remember where you were? And why are you going back in that bondage?" And Christian, I don't know about you, but it makes my heart sick when I turn back to do the things that I know I shouldn't be doing. We should want to be in that blessed place. We should want to be in that place where we're learning, where we're growing, where we're memorizing scriptures, where we see God working, and see God moving. I'm not saying that we're all going to have big fat wallets. I'm not going to say we're going to have money in the bank. We're going to all be driving all these great cars and have these huge houses. That's not what we're talking about. That has nothing to do with the blessed place. That has nothing to do with a real, definite relationship with Jesus Christ. When you hear him speak, and when you speak to him, when you know that he is yours and you are his, when you know that no one can convince you anything else, because you know God is real, because God is working in your heart and life. The blessed place. I want you to go back to that spot in your mind for a second. The last time you were really excited about being a Christian. Maybe it was at the last mission conference when God spoke to your heart about what he would have you to give or what he would have you to do in world missions. Maybe it was at the last revival when you heard Dr. Bishop talk about all the elements that he went through and that he was still saying God was good, and you're saying, "You know what? God is good." Maybe it was just a few weeks ago when we talked about how Christ lives in us and how that Christ is not us, but God wants to live here. Maybe God was speaking to your heart then. I don't know what it was that would attract your heart and soul and say, "Boy, I remember back then and I wanted to serve God." Then let's figure out what it is that has entered into our hearts and life between those two times. And let's get rid of it. We've turned back to something. And because we've turned back to something, we need to be zealous and repent. And we need to say, "God, I love you more than I love this, and I'm willing to give this up because I see what this is doing to me." Paul saw what the Judaizers were doing to these people. He saw that they were turning away from God. He saw that they were getting back into bondage. He saw the problems they were having. They were leaving the blessed place. Now, were they on their way to heaven? Yes. Once you're saved, you're always saved. I believe that with all my heart. But who else were they reaching with the truth? No one. And what type of life were they living? Not one of liberty and freedom that God wants to give us where we choose to do what's right. But instead, they were living in a form of bondage and idolatry. Tonight, why are you here? He said, "Pastor, you're trying to give me a hard time. I came out in the rain. I had to take a rowboat out there and oar my way to church. You know, we're here. We're the blessed." Are you in that blessed place? Are you in that blessed place tonight? Are you in that spot? Are you here because it's a ritual thing? Because you feel like you got to be here or the preacher's going to call you? Are you here because you feel like if you don't, you're not going to get to do something at the church? Or are you here because, "Hey, I want to learn about God"? Are you here because you came because, "Hey, I want to know God. I want to know him better. I want to become like Christ. I know what he can do for me, what he does has done in my life, and I want that again. I want God to be real to me. How do we get back to that blessed place? We turn away from those things that have been putting us back into that bondage. We turn to God. You say, I got to get resaved? No, that's not the message at all. The message is that some of us have left that blessed place because we've left our first love. That's what the church of Galatia was doing. They had a spot where they were serving. They were on fire. They were seeking for God to move them. Now someone's crept in and taught them something false. They are falling into apostasy. They are turning away from the truth of the God and turning back to the same type of idol. And believe me, church can be an idol to you. Church is something that you think, well, church has got to be this, and church has got to be this. You know what? God is what's got to be. Church is a place where we come to worship from God, a place where we come to hear from God. But some people can take church and mess the whole point up when they come. Tonight, are you in that blessed place? If not, what turned you away? And if something, you know what? It could be bitterness. It could be hard feelings. It could be stubbornness. It could be, there's a long list of things. It could be wicked thoughts. It could be listening, looking at the wrong things. What has turned you away from that blessed place? Let's repent and turn back to God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed for a time invitation. I know it was kind of a heavy message for a Wednesday night, but that was the point. Paul was trying to pull the heartstrings of these people, and he was saying, hey, look, something happened, something has changed, let's get back to that place. And next week, you're going to hear a little bit about where Paul says, look, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Christian, what is it that we need to hear tonight? Are we in that blessed place? Is there something that has taken us away? Believe me, if we're not as close to God as we were some other point in our life, we do know that God has not moved. It's been us. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open as Brother Jim sings. I am real.